Holy God, your blessings are abundant, and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word read and proclaimed today, so that we might be the people we were born to be. The first reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven."
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The very first hymn in the Hebrew hymn book begins with those words, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." The Hebrew word that's translated happy here might be better translated fortunate or blessed. These people are blessed because they are where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do in the way they're supposed to do it. They are like a tree planted by a stream of water so that its roots are never dry. As a result, they prosper. They do well. Obviously, this is intended to encourage you to do exactly that. But it's not only a moralistic statement. It's also a practical statement about how the world works. It's kind of like the little child who's caught explaining to his younger siblings, "Look, When mommy tells us to take a nap, you don't actually have to go to sleep, you know. You can, if you go to your room and you're quiet for a while, then the whole rest of the day is nicer. Practical thing. Look, if you live your life like you really are a child of God, things will go better. You might not be happy all of the time, but overall you'll do better in life by every measure that really matters. This is part of the social context in which Jesus is speaking in our gospel reading this morning. Everyone in the crowd would have been familiar with Psalm 1. It's like if I say the words, "Amazing grace." See? Exactly. You know, if I say those words, you know what I'm talking about. So, Jesus has started his ministry. He's called some disciples. He goes all over Galilee preaching and teaching and curing the sick and the lame. Crowds start following him. A natural thing. I'm sure that not everyone in the crowd was the sick and the lame and epileptics and other people whose medical conditions effectively pushed them out of society. But we know that many were. That's who Jesus is talking to here. He is not holding $1,000 a plate dinner for the elite of society. He's talking with a huge crowd of every description, from the rich to the poor, and definitely including people who are outcasts from polite society. He tells them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He's using the same word that's in Psalm 1. It just gets translated differently because it's going through Greek instead of just Hebrew to English. Blessed are the people who live their lives as though they are dependent on God's grace. Because they are. The people who live their lives as though they are really self-made and self-sufficient are dependent on God's grace too. They tend to find that out eventually. Blessed are those who understand that there is a God and that they're not him. As a result, they look for ways to do God's will in the world. They're living their lives like children of God, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not some otherworldly place you go when you die, but the kingdom of heaven, right here, right now. They get to see a child open up when she realizes just how much she is loved. They get to see amazing things happen that a cynic would say were impossible. And they see them because they were watching for what God is doing in the world. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This verse has been ridiculed perhaps more often than any other verse in the entire Bible. Like most times when somebody's making fun of what Jesus says, they don't understand what Jesus is saying. It's a translation issue. There isn't a good English word for anarim. This is not meek like Casper Milktoast being a doormat for everyone without standing up for anything, especially yourself. This is meek or humble in the sense of knowing who you are and knowing where you belong, and not fighting other people to be something you're not. The book of Numbers says that Moses was the meekest man on earth, and he was certainly no milquetoast, standing up to Pharaoh and that whole story. The meek who will inherit the earth are nonviolent people who are humble and gentle in their dealings with other people, because they've humbled themselves before the greatness of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is not self-righteousness or being holier than thou. This is the same kind of righteousness that Jesus talked about at his baptism, where he and John were fulfilling all righteousness. This isn't even about you as an individual. This is hungering and thirsting for the world to be the way God intended it, with everyone having enough. Shalom. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. This is mercy in the sense of both compassion and forgiveness. You can't have one without the other. And just like everywhere else in Scripture, there is no such thing as an attitude separate from activity. You aren't compassionate unless you do something about it. You aren't forgiving until you forgive. You aren't merciful until you actually show mercy. And if you are merciful, then you are like God, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This does not mean perfect people, thank God, because Jesus knows there aren't any of those wandering around. This means people who don't try to split the difference. All of us have both good and evil in our hearts. We've talked about this a number of times. But these people don't choose to make that situation worse. They don't try to serve two masters. They don't try to serve both God and power, or both God and money. They serve God, and they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount was delivered during the time of the so-called Pax Romana, when the Roman Empire created a desert and called it peace. The Roman legions created law and order by hammering down any nail that stood up, and by destroying entire cities and salting the earth. That's not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. He is not talking about the Roman Pax, but the divine Shalom. People who are working to make Shalom deserve to be called children of God. They imitate his generosity. Remembering that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. They work to return good for evil, and to love people, even the ones who don't love them. They work to build bridges and to reconcile hostile individuals, groups, and nations. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all sorts of evil against you falsely on my account. Jesus tells the people following him, right up front, that this is not how you win popularity contests. If you are genuinely doing your best to follow Jesus, you will be misunderstood. People will say bad things about you. In Jesus' time, or in a few places in the world today, you might well be thrown in prison, or flogged, or killed for serving God. If you're trying to follow Jesus because it's the easy way to go through life, you misunderstand how the world works. The easy way in Jesus' time was nominal worship of Caesar and the Roman gods. The easy way now is much the same thing. It's some kind of mildly benevolent deism, believing vaguely in some kind of a God who wants you to be happy, but who doesn't really demand anything from you. It isn't Christianity, but it's easy. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? God's people throughout history, have been blessed to bless the whole world. A handful of salt, the cooks among you can tell you, can make a whole pot of soup appetizing and tasty. So it is with God's people in the world. Gerald Liu said, as peculiar as the promises of happiness seem in the Beatitudes, they rest in part on the ability of the followers of Jesus to attend to the wounds of the world with the saltiness of God, to illuminate a way forward in impossible circumstances with divine light, and to do these things as if it's just us being who we are, like it's second nature. What Jesus gives his listeners, all his listeners, including us, is a new lifestyle, a new way of living our lives. He's telling us what life as God's people looks like, and he shows it to us in his own life. This is what it is to walk humbly with our God. The world is better today than it was when Jesus walked the earth as a man. It's better today than it was 400 years ago, when killing someone or enslaving them for the color of their skin or their religion was accepted behavior virtually worldwide. The world is not better by random chance. There were no dice involved. A comparative handful of people living the way Jesus tells us to live has changed the world and continues to change the world. Jesus calls all of us to be part of that. He tells us, let our light shine. It will make our own lives better, and it will make the world around us a better place. As the kids in Sunday school could tell you, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen.